I'm Tony Russo, and this is the State of the Beer for Thursday, April 14th, 2016. My guest on this week's show is Jason Weisberg, who's the brewer at Asselman Bay Brewing Company in Ocean City. They're starting bottling. They actually finished bottling. I talked to him. He was on his way home from his second day of bottling. They're putting in long days there, but it's going to be worth it. And the bottles will be out next week. And I'm going to talk to Jason a little bit about that process and how similar and different it is from other bottling processes in the area. Whenever a brewery starts to bottle, there are always shenanigans. The bottling machines, no matter how state of the art, no matter how new, no matter how old, no matter how reliable, they reject the brewers at first, and you have to kind of win them over like Mustangs or whatever things people need to win over. But anyway, it's a fun story. It's a great interview. The audio, as you will see, has greatly improved. I'm sorry it took so long, but now the audio is better. And also, next week's guest will be Patrick Brady from Fin City, as they like to say, Ocean City's oldest brewery. And he'll be talking about the different challenges of getting open and brewing in the rafters and all the fun stuff that they do over there. This week in release news, I'm going to kind of go down the list of some of my favorites who are releasing new beers this week. I will start in the north, I guess, and work our way south. Fordham and Dominion in Dover have their Wisteria Wheat coming out. It's a seasonal. It comes out every year. This year is different because they've rebranded it with new art. And if you go back two shows ago, I believe, you can listen to Ryan Kelly's interview. And Ryan is the one who does all the label work and the design work. And he talks about the process of Fordham and Dominion's different branding efforts to make their bottles a little bit more pretty to get people to try them. Because the beer inside is great. They just want to make sure that the outside is at least palatable. Ha ha ha. Meanwhile, down in Del Mar, Delaware, from whence I'm recording this lovely morning, Third Wave Brewing Company will debut their Shoreline Honey Ginger Cream Ale, which is one of my wife's favorites. I really like this beer. It's just a good, solid cream ale. Cream ales, they come and go in popularity, but this is a very flavorful beer. It's going to be fun to taste. It's going to be fun to try, and it's one of the, you know, it's kind of like a rite of spring around here in good old Del Mar. And then down the block in Salisbury, our friends at Evolution are releasing their Spring Migration. The word is on Monday, April 18th. And that'll be out until it's gone. But if you guys are into the Spring Migration, if you're the migration collector type, you want to get it before it's gone because they always go quick. My interview with Tom Noor was actually one of the first ones I destroyed, but I ended up writing a story. And if you'd like to see the story about it, it is on shorecraftbeer.com. It is the Pine Hopple story. But as part of the Pine Hopple story, we talked about his approach to doing the migration series and some of the different ways to drink it. He says buy three because that way you can drink one now and then you can compare two year over year. Because each year the beer is the same, but the casks that they age them in are different. And so it gives each beer a different personal character. Other events in events news, two things this weekend, Saturday, if you want to go to the Komen races. The Komen Race for the Cure in Ocean City is beer sponsored by Backshore Brewing Company. They'll be providing beer to the runners. If you're one of the runners, you're going to get a free beer. And if you can run a 5K, then certainly you deserve a beer, even if it is at 11 o'clock in the morning. And last but not least, Secrets on April 30th is having a beer festival. It's a 12-pack of local with 12 local breweries, all serving at Secrets, and 12 local bands. It's going to be a lot of fun. It always is. They do a great job over at Secrets, and it's always nice to get out there before the madness of graduation start between May and mid-September. It can be a madhouse, so it's nice to get down there and kind of have the place, not to yourself, but have it to just craft beer lovers and knock around. So make an effort to get out there if you can. April 30th, tickets are available at secrets.com. Okay, so this week, one of the things I want to talk about real quick is that I was at the Brick Room in Salisbury for a book and beer event. And one of the interesting things about the Brick Room is they don't have many local beers on tap. They had Third Wave. Everybody else was in bottles and cans. And I didn't get a chance to talk to the manager about it. I'll probably do a story about that in the near future. But what I'd like to think is that if you try them in the bottles and the cans at the Brick Room, then you know what they taste like in bottles and cans. So I think pretty much everyone that is packaging in the region is kind of represented in at the at the Brick Room. And I spoke with Jason about that a little bit. He talked about the difference between making sure that the beer comes out of the tap the way you like it versus making sure that it comes out of the bottle and the kind of different bottling controls you need, the quality controls you need when you're bottling vary from place to place, from beer to beer. I mean, Jason's been at this for like a billion years, even though he's not a billion years old. He's an old brewing soul, but he's a good guy. The audio is better. Thank you again for sticking with me for as long as you have. Make sure you can like us on Facebook, do all of those things at shorecraftbeer.com. And I will catch you on the other side of this interview. Enjoy. This is Jason Weisberg.
So you guys put out bottles this week. Or this week? Are they out yet? Can I buy one?
Deliveries are being made this week and early next week. So they will start to be out in stores in the next week or two.
Is there any kind of rhyme or reason? You guys are in Delaware and Virginia and Maryland?
We are currently approved for Delaware. We have not started to ship beer to Delaware yet.
Uh-huh.
We're still looking to find the right distribution partner there. But right now we are in Maryland and Virginia.
That's cool. How much of this did you have to do? Like, did you have to deal with the distributors or did someone else do that? And what was that like?
With regards to
saying, hey, will you take my bottles? Do you have room for my bottles? That kind of thing.
That part of the process was covered when we set up these arrangements when we were draft only. We've had bottles in our forecast. Since we've opened, it was always something we wanted to do. We just weren't sure which brands and in what type of container and to what markets we wanted to do. So we started with draft only in bottles, which are the Bayside Blonde, the Angry Clown Brown, and our Transporter. That was based on people's reception to the different beers. They're the ones that people gravitated towards.
Those are all very, very, very good beers.
Thank you very much. So that's how we kind of made decisions on which ones to put into bottles. And then we started the process of sourcing all of the components to it. You know, there's a lot of different components that go into putting beers in bottles. There's caps, there's labels, there's bottles, there's six-pack holders, there's taste boxes, there's artwork that goes on the bottles, there's forms to fill out with the federal government. Once you have your labels designed and proofed, then they have to be approved by the federal government. So there was about a year's worth of pre-planning and production planning, you know, just to get the artwork.
Wow.
Just to get the different... you know, with doing three brands at once, we focused on one brand, we got the artwork settled on, then we kind of got, you know, the feel and the theme of what our taste boxes wanted to look like, what our six-packs wanted to look like, and then dial that even closer into what our labels were going to look like. So having all of those components coordinated, approved, with so many different components and so many different text areas and shades and shadows and varieties of colors and different tones of colors. There was a lot of back and forth until we finally said, okay,
right,
I think
now
we've got it.
A lot of those look similar, right? The Transporter is the one that I took notice of. That's not radically different from what you have for your tap sticker, is it?
Correct. All of our new tap stickers are based off the final artwork or the brand identity for each year.
Oh, that's right. But you've been doing this a long time. That's why I saw the first one before the second one. The first one, yeah.
Yeah, so it was an interesting process. The artist we worked with was really thorough, did a really nice job, came up with with a great concept of how, you know, he envisioned our packaging looking. And that's why we've had the tap stickers for so much longer, because, you know, we had each brand logo or design set, and then it was just a matter of figuring out how we can tie that into, you know, the brand of the brewery, and we've done that by incorporating, you know, elements from our logo, which is the beautiful bay theme. We have the Route 90 bridge in the background,
right.
You know, we have the islands behind it, so just getting the sizing and the orientation and the layout of the different elements is really what took some time. And while that was happening, you know, we were sourcing the equipment to actually do the bottling, which included a used bottler and a used labeler that we flew out to Minnesota to, you know, inspect and test drive and kick the tires out and then pack it up and ship it back here and realize that for some reason what works in Minnesota doesn't always work in Delaware. So,
that's great.
You know, it's like buying a used car. so we had a lot of, so I got to get, very, very intimate with the inner workings of both our bottler and our labeler, you know, we made some small adjustments and invested in new parts and pieces parts, and we did some testing along those lines. We had everything set and ready to go, and our first few days of production were Monday and yesterday.
Wow. Wow.
So we have a cooler full of cases of beer, and they, like I said, those are going to be shipped out to our wholesale partners. Some are going out tomorrow, and then early next week.
That's cool.
We'll be the rest of them.
I guess you must. You know Lori. I don't know if you know that she has pretty much the same story. Lori at mm-hmm. Third Wave, when they inherited yeah. their bottle, and they didn't even move the thing. I mean, it was right where it was. It was working fine for Evo, and then it stopped.
Yep.
So that's always an adventure.
Well, and that's the nature of that's the nature of packaging. Now. You know, people don't realize that. You know, it's the equivalent of trying to get a genie into a bottle.
Right.
You know, you've got a lot of beer that you're trying to get into a 12-ounce bottle, and the equipment you get to do it, you know, faster and more efficiently, you know, sometimes takes a little bit of time, patience, energy, sometimes a couple of dollars. but really, it's more about just being comfortable and knowing the limitations of your equipment and having realistic expectations and being pretty good with a wrench.
Yeah.
is the key to success.
and so you chose bottles over cans. Was that a convenience thing? Was that an aesthetic thing? Was it just?
It was a combination. It was a combination of what we were able to fit into our environment. You know, what we thought would be the most appropriate way to get into packaging. There's a lot of barriers to entry. When determining a packaging style, you know, you have to store all of your packaging materials. So one of the reasons we went with cans over bottles was in order to do three brands.
You'd need all those cans.
You would need three brands worth of cans. I mean, you could buy blank cans and then label them, but you're still buying almost a tractor trailer's worth of cans. you know, and if you're not buying a tractor trailer's worth of cans, you have to set your prices at what we felt, or what I really felt was, you know, was higher than what I thought. And I'm old fashioned.
Yeah,
I still think a pint should be less than $5 all the time. and you know, six packs should be, you know, $7-$8. But knowing what's out there in the market, we had a certain price point in mind. And we really did our diligence to try and find a package, including beer costs, including labor and energy and all that fun stuff
right.
that we could still do, at that price point. So that was one reason. Two, it gives us a little bit more flexibility. If we want to change brands or add a new brand, just buying labels is a lot easier than buying, you know, a whole new set of cans.
Right.
And another reason was, you know, we just felt more comfortable with the general beer drinking, you know, audience. Those people that drink beer out of a can will also drink out of a bottle.
Right, but not vice versa.
There are some people who will only drink out of bottles, and while I don't necessarily agree with the stigma of cans versus bottles, I do understand that, you know, to reach a wider audience, bottles would be a step in that direction.
I'm surprised. It's one of those things that I guess that's just going to persist. Because I think you probably haven't been able to taste the can in a beer in a decade more.
I'm sorry?
I said I feel like you probably haven't been able to taste the can in a decade or more. But it's just one of those things that people are always going to prefer bottles to cans. Or often, there are always going to be more people, as you said, who will drink out of a bottle before they'll drink out of a can.
Right. And also with what we were able to invest in equipment.
Right.
I felt more comfortable with a better packaged product in the equipment that we could get into, with regards to oxygen pickup, you know, those kind of things that are a very important but often overlooked component in the packaging process. A good seal, you know, reduced oxygen pickup during the process. So I felt more comfortable with the bottle product. It doesn't mean that as we expand and we get into a spot with some more space, that adding cans, you know, it's definitely in our future. It's just a question of when.
And where?
And where, yeah.
So you guys, you have Sam. Sam is you. Sam Saylor, right, is your sales guy?
Correct.
Now, is he out? Correct. Does he go out and push the bottles as well? Or are you going to expand to have someone chasing down retailers for the cans, for the bottles, or are you going to leave it to the distributor? How does that work?
Yeah, now at this point, you know, Sam is, you know, we're Sam is our sales department, and we're keeping our sales territory to a certain size that is manageable with just Sam, and we've got some great wholesale partners that he can focus on selling to wholesale partners, and then the wholesale partners can take that information and that excitement about the brand to the individual retailers. So Sam, while he is in different regions and different areas on a daily basis and visiting, you know, retail accounts, he does spend a good bit of time with our wholesale partners to, you know, to get them, and they'll help spread the word as well.
That's very cool. Now, we were talking before we came on about the upcoming events or potential upcoming events, and although we're not going to say the date because it's not locked in and written in stone, tell me about the brewer battle, because I didn't get to participate, well, to cover that last year, so I'm looking forward to covering it this year. It's going to be at the end of June, and what's that all about?
Correct. You know, the brewer's battle is you know, we put air quotes around the battle parks. You know, everybody will leave and arrive in the same or better condition that they showed up in. Pacifists are more than welcome as well.
Right.
And what we're doing is it's kind of our local brewers event last year. And this year's event is going to be slightly different than last year's. But the same feel and the same type of atmosphere, which is, you know, a beer fest for local breweries. But really what we like to do is we like to give the local brewers an opportunity to enjoy a beer festival. So we try and keep we have a great draft set up. So we don't necessarily require all the brewers to be behind their tap pouring. You know, we encourage them to just walk around and mingle and just have a good time at the event, kind of be on the other side of the bar as well.
Oh, that's cool.
And this year we're working out some of the details. We're looking to do a couple of different competitions or contests where brewers can vote for their favorite beers, the attendees can vote for their favorite beers, and then we're working out different ways to kind of have breweries earn different votes for their beers, and then the winners of those contests will have money donated to the charity of their choice based on the results of that.
Oh, that's very cool.
So, yeah, so it's kind of like a battle of the network stars version of the beer test.
That's fun. Yeah. One of the things that we're hoping to do, our app should be out by then, so hopefully we can We just got the test of the Shorecraft beer app, so people will be able to check in at events as well as at breweries and bars things like that. So that might be the second, we're having one the 18th of June, and then hopefully this will be the second one, because one of our contests that we're going to have is that, I think we haven't decided how many, but let's say 5 just for fun. If you go to 5 Shorecraft beer events over the course of the year, you get free tickets to the 6th one or something. It's something along those lines. So we're looking to promote a lot of the smaller, you know, the local beer festivals going forward.
I'm sure there's a way we can incorporate that technology into a very fun and overly complicated way to get
the votes in
addition to another local brewery. So, you know, and just draw attention to the fact that there's, you know, great resources out there to find craft beer on the shore, and, you know, find out where, you know, now they're wearing bottles, and there's a lot of, you know, I think we're one of the last to get into bottles, I think. So just having that information of where to find your favorite, you know, shore craft beer in different stores and restaurants, I think technology has done a lot to help, you know, craft beer on both the national level and, you know, obviously here on the local level.
Yeah. And so you've been working all night. Are you ready for summer? What's your summer going to be like? Because you had a little bit of a break last summer, but this summer you're going to be full bore all the time, right?
The way things are looking with the demand for our product and the production numbers that we've put up, you know, we're pushing at this point now is where we were mid-July last year.
Wow.
So we're definitely ahead of last year's production. We've got a couple of, you know, forecasted production numbers in mind. And, you know, if we hit them, I'll be very, very busy. and I think it's looking like, especially adding the bottles, as, you know, it adds another level of
right.
customers that we can reach. You know, it certainly helps with our ability to get, you know, beer out of the brewery and into the hands of craft beer lovers.
Yeah, and for somebody like me, it's getting harder and harder because it used to be when I would go someplace, I could bring, hey, I'm like, hey, look who just started bottling. But now between you guys are all bottling and canning all at the same time now, and now it's kind of expected of me. It's like, oh, no, we want something new. You brought that last time. But I'm happy to do it. I'm really looking forward. Like, you know, I know I'm in the majority when I say the Transporter is just one of my favorite beers. But I love that Angry Clown as well. When I had that with the Maytag cheese at the right, that was you had the Maytag mm-hmm. cheese, and that's
yeah, Maytag blue at Clarion.
Yeah, everybody, Doug, people are still talking about that particular pairing. So looking to get my hands on some Maytag cheese now that I can have some Angry Clown to bring home.
You know, and it's funny because, you know, there's always that, you know, it's both true and it's also a great sales pitch is, you know, everybody says, oh, I only like this beer on draft or it tastes different, you know, in a can or a bottle, which is true. Beers will taste different depending on how they're served or how they're dispensed. You know, but one of the reasons we've had, you know, a little bit of delay, is, you know, I wanted to see how the beers would hold up the bottle. And we've had some samples and, you know, they really do, you know, bring out even, you know, I think in the brown particularly even more unique, you know, malt characteristics, you know, from bottle versus, you know, versus draft. So, you know, you'll have to try both ways.
I guess I will. I'll take one for the team. Awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time. And we look forward to trying the new bottles when they come out.
Awesome, Tony. Looking forward to it. Thanks for thinking of it.
All right, man. So there you have it. Right from the horse's mouth. When you get a chance, get out. If you can only buy one, I'd go with Transporter. The Transporter is such a good beer. It is such a good beer. They're all good. The Angry Clown is a favorite of mine. A little story about the Angry Clown. We had a beer and cheese tasting, and Jason chose to pair Angry Clown with Maytag blue cheese, which is a specialty blue cheese that's made by the Washing Machine family in, I guess, Iowa or Idaho, one of the I states out in the West. But that was everyone's favorite pairing of the night. The cheese was thick and bluey and creamy. And the brown ale just cut it. It was like washing your tongue with beer. It was very, very good. It was a great pairing. It's a great beer. And there's a great Angry Clown story that we'll get Jason to tell the next time he's on. Again, until next week, you can like us on Facebook. If you want to follow me on Twitter, my name is Tony Russo Backwards. So you can find me at OSSURYNOT. And everything else is available at surecraftbeer.com. This show is sponsored, I guess, by surecraftbeer.com because they let me do it rather than do my real job on Thursday morning. So it's a pleasure. And that's it. We will see you next week with Patrick Brady from Fin City Brewing Company in Ocean City.
The state of the beer is strong.